Blog Talk Radio.
You have just tuned in to an episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir, Sherry Pang, and Maria Wilson Duff. Stay tuned as we enter into the world of the paranormal, a world of ghosts, UFOs, and generally anything unexplained. The show is about to begin. Show is about to begin, but it probably won't last very long considering I don't have anybody to talk to. No co-hosts have called in yet, so I'm just going to have to wing it for a few minutes, and I'm thinking that I might just end the show early, or probably significantly early, because I'm just going to have to start using my brain. You know, normally I just sit here and live in la-la land, but now that I'm actually going to have to use my vocal skills and get my brain synapses to fire, it's going to be difficult. So, welcome to another episode of Paranormal Horizons, probably a very short one. I'm Jason Ophir, and we're going to talk a little bit about the paranormal. And while I wait for a co-host to connect to the show, I thought I would talk about, I haven't talked about very often, about the ghost investigations that I've done. Now, you know, I always try and gravitate towards UFOs and alien abductions, and sometimes I start sharing my UFO experiences. But I never really talk about too much of this ghost hunting business that I, well, not really a business, but the ghost hunting I used to do back in the day. So I thought I'd talk about that and give the other co-hosts an opportunity to call in. And I'll probably just cut it off short, you know, for the first time ever in 250-so episodes. So we'll just go with that. If anybody wants to call in, join the conversation, you sure can. At 215-383-3999. That's 215-383-3999. So, I did a lot of investigations in the past, and I wanted to share some of that with you. And if you listen to this show regularly, you'll know that I'm kind of I am a skeptic. I mean, even though I've encountered things that I can't explain, I still am skeptical. And there's reasons for that. I think probably because I was raised with very well-educated people. I'm the only one in my family without a PhD. And so I really have kind of this ingrained childhood analytical thought. And in fact, my very first real job that I had, I mean, I got hired at McDonald's when I was 14, but the first real job I had was in retail loss prevention, catching shoplifters. I ended up doing that for 18 years, but that sort of built a foundation of being, well, for one, a hard ass, but for two, as being an investigator, the majority of that time was catching employees stealing. I should talk about that, actually. Actually, I might, just because I can do whatever I want. No one else is here. I should talk about that because I've got so many stories. I started doing that I'll segue into the paranormal at some point, but it is kind of an amusing, shoplifting is an amusing subject. I started that when I was the first job in 1992. And back in those days, it was the wild, wild west. And for those of you that aren't familiar with loss prevention, you basically get hired with a big retailer and wear plain clothes and catch shoplifters. You know, you walk around the store and pretend to be shopping. You might push a cart and stuff like that. And so it was pretty entertaining, albeit dangerous. It was a very dangerous job. You know, you don't have backup. You don't have a gun. And I actually, one time, I ended up catching somebody he ended up murdering his wife. So, I mean, you never knew what you were going to get. Were they going to fight? Were they going to stab you with a needle? This and that. I never had too much of a problem catching shoplifters because I'm a big dude. And that, in that particular line of work, was to my benefit. But every now and then, things would get a little bit crazy. So I'll just go off a little bit on shoplifting. the first thing I want to say is shoplifting is bad, okay? Because people like me get meager paychecks to catch shoplifters. But over the years, I mean, it was crazy. Back in the day in Portland, Oregon, the big thing was, and I think it changed, but back in the 90s, the thing was to go into a large retailer and steal as many pairs of jeans as you possibly could. And so, because I guess there were these, I haven't seen any lately, but there were these trailers on the side of the road that says they'll buy used jeans. So what these people would do is they would go in and steal as many jeans, and then they, you know, take them to these guys that buy them and get cash real quick. At one time, I had a guy back in the early 90s. He was back in the store that I used to work at, and they had a garden center. It's kind of one of these big box retailer kind of stores up here in the Northwest, which subsequently is no longer around. So he went and he grabbed a giant trash can, and he filled them up with 18 pairs of jeans, and I ended up catching him. So that was the thing back in the day. And it was crazy. It was wild. One time somebody was stealing and they ran over an employee trying to get away from me. I had somebody try and stab me in the middle of a mall. But my forte was as an investigator, an employee investigator. That's what I was really good at. I never really liked catching shoplifters. A lot of people get into those sort of things because they like the rush, the adrenaline rush. And it was always sketchy catching a shoplifter because you didn't know what they were going to do. And if you make a mistake, see, if you see somebody, you know, steal something and they're walking in some coat racks and they pull it out and throw it on the floor and you subsequently stop them, and then you can get a lot of trouble. You can lose your job. I've even heard cases of people actually getting charged with kidnapping for stopping shoplifters that didn't have the merchandise. So that was always going through the back of your head that you were going to get in trouble or lose your job. So it was really, really nerve-wracking. I never enjoyed the rush. But what I did enjoy was catching employees. And I caught employees for three different companies, two national, the big ones. I don't want to say any names. But, yeah, I caught employees. I caught managers crediting their own credit cards. I caught managers stealing cash out of the safes. Any way you can steal it. People are always shady and stealing it. Even if they're employees, they do all sorts of stuff. And the reason I was so good at that, I was an okay investigator in terms of finding the evidence and figuring it out, reviewing video and all that. But my specialty was interviewing these people. You know, you sit at the opposite end of a table and you get them to admit to something in their mind that they've already decided they weren't going to admit to. And it is a total art form. And it is kind of fun, but it's also nerve-wracking. But when you're sitting across from somebody that's already made the decision they're not going to admit to anything, they know why they're there, and then they end up confessing to you, then it's like, whew, it's like a wave of relief. And you're like, yes, 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 I just outsmarted this person sort of thing. And what's interesting is the psychology of it, getting people to admit to things. And there's a lot of tricks of the trade. And I probably shouldn't be talking about the tricks of the trade to catching employees stealing. They're like industry secrets. But for all your employees out there stealing, of course, we hope you don't. Here's how a lot of it works. Now, I haven't done this line of work in a very long time. Maybe things have changed, but I doubt it. One of the things that we used to do as it pertains to employees is if we suspected somebody of stealing, but we really didn't have concrete evidence, you do these little tricks, and they're so shady, and they probably do it in TV shows, and cops do it all the time. Is what we would do is we think they're stealing, but we're not sure. So we find some reason to talk to them, like a policy violation or a discount, employee discount violation. And we would set up the room. So we would set up the room before we called the employee back, and we'd get a really uncomfortable chair, you know, kind of in the center of the room, and they're, you know, sitting kind of exposed, and you're sitting close to them because you don't want the person to be comfortable. You are intentionally trying to make the employee thief uncomfortable. So you're going to sit not too close, but you want to sit close to them. the other thing you do is you would have a table there and you'd stack up VHS cassettes on the table. They could have been The Lion King, Pocahontas, whatever. But in the mind of the person that's stealing, they're looking at a stack of tapes and maybe some large files that have blank paper or some Polaroids turned upside down. In their mind, they're like, oh man, this guy knows everything I've ever done. He's got all this evidence. And it was complete bullshit. Didn't know anything, but in you're tricking their mind. And then on top of that, so you conduct the interview, you're always looking for these autonomic body responses. When you lie to somebody, your body gives up these subconscious cues. And a lot of them are like, what's their body position? Are their arm crossed? Are their legs crossed? Are their legs out straight? And all these certain things. And some people, when they lie, they actually break out in rashes, which is amusing. And you can see all these things. And so you can't tell if somebody's lying for sure, but you can kind of gather all these little cues and kind of determine with a lot of accuracy whether or not they're lying. So it was just really, really amusing. And out of all the years I did this, I only had trouble once getting a confession. I had to call another guy in who was better than me. Right? There was somebody that was better than me, and he was kind of my mentor, and he ended up getting the admission. But it's all very interesting. And then the cops use it today too, you know. Another trick that we used to use is, and the police use this to this day, is kind of minimizing it. Have you ever gotten a traffic ticket and that cop says, well, you couldn't provide proof of insurance, you were going 20 over the speed limit, and your registration's expired, and you're thinking to yourself, oh, they're going to tow my car, this, this, and that. So what the cop does is it's called selling the ticket. It's like, okay, you know what? I'm not going to charge you for not being able to provide proof of insurance or your expired registration. And I'm going to write you a speeding ticket, but I'm only going to do it for 10 over. And that's a trick so that you don't get agitated, to make you feel like you're, you know, the cop's doing you a favor. And those are some of the strategies that they use. And it looks like my co-host is calling in, and I'm going to continue this conversation. I'll fill her in. Maria.
Hi, this sounds interesting.
It is. It's very interesting. Since I was by myself, I thought one thing I've never, ever talked about was interview and interrogation and the tricks that the cops use and my experiences of 18 years busting people. And it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I apologize about that. My thought is wrong.
Okay. So I was just talking about how police sell tickets. Did you hear my example on that?
No, when I realized that it was 10 after and not 10 till, I decided I needed to call in.
Okay, I'll reiterate it so you can hear what I was talking about. So I was talking about me interviewing employees for theft and the tricks that we use, like putting a bunch of cassette tapes that have nothing on them to make the person feel like we have lots of evidence. And then I went into police selling tickets, and how they do that is, you know, if the cop has a bunch of stuff that he can write you a ticket for, he'll reduce it to make you feel like, you know, he's your friend and he's doing you a favor sort of thing. And that's called selling a ticket. It's happened to me many times where they pull you over and you're going like, you're going 20 over, and the cop's like, listen, you know, I don't want to tow your car. I don't want to give you a $1,000 ticket. So I'm going to only write you a ticket for 10 over. And so it basically makes you feel good about the situation. Then you're happy you got the ticket. And that's the whole mentality behind it. It's just tips and tricks that these people, these government agencies, people like me in loss prevention use to make you feel good about things. It's shady.
But you hear that a lot. It's like they're cutting you a break because if you're going 20 over, they can take you to jail for that right then. Tow your car, take off. So, yeah, you're, like you said, you're really happy to get that ticket for going 10 over.
So the moral
I didn't realize
of the story,
that was a thing, though, Jason. That's awesome to know because, you know, it just kind of seems like somebody's, yes, you were doing something that you weren't supposed to be doing, but this guy's being nice and giving you a break. I didn't realize that was a thing.
Yeah, no, it's a definite thing. And what I tell people is 9 out of 10 times, don't admit to anything, even if they show you the evidence. There's really no, very few instances where confessing is going to end up better for you. The instances where it would be rare, but you don't want to admit to anything. These people, their job is to put you in jail. And typically, admitting to doing anything is ill-advised. Like you always hear on TV, talk to my attorney, this, that, and the other thing. And it's just, it doesn't end well for you. And in the same case with retail loss prevention, if you're stealing from your employer, I hope you don't, but if you are, you don't want to admit. Here's a little quick story. This was kind of entertaining. So I was working at an employer and there was cash missing from the safe. Not a lot, you know, 20, 30 bucks here. And for the life of us, we couldn't figure out where we were losing the money. So I put cameras over the registers. That wasn't it. So then we thought, okay, maybe the bookkeeper, you know, that didn't appear to be it. So I finally got so frustrated with these cash losses that I put a camera up in the hallway to the bookkeeper's office. I put a camera above the safe. And lo and behold, the assistant store manager, who is a district trainer, so when they open new stores, you know, he's the guy, he was pocketing small amounts of cash. And I caught him. So I busted the guy, you know, we're talking to him, blah, blah, blah. He absolutely refused to admit to anything. Took him back, showed him the video, refused to admit to anything. Smart. I gave the guy props for that, because even if you're looking at yourself on camera, it's not going to do you any good to admit to anything. It's not going to improve your situation.
Wow. But, well, I mean, how many people are in prison and they keep swearing up and down, I'm innocent, I didn't do it.
And probably most of the time they did, but there certainly are a lot of people in prison that didn't do it. Unfortunately, we live in a prison state, you know, per capita, the highest amount of people in prison, a surveillance state, a prison state. The government agencies, state and federal, they want to lock you up. It's big business. They're in the business of locking us up. And there are, it's a pet peeve of mine. I don't understand. Everything is criminalized. You know, you're locking people up in jail because they're collecting rainwater. You know, just ridiculous.
Yes. Nothing is consistent. Just like you were talking about the tickets. Sometimes you're not going to get pulled over for doing 6-7 miles an hour over. But then you've got someone that will pull them over if you're going 2 miles an hour over, just so that they can randomly decide that they need to search your vehicle and do all kinds of odd things.
Yeah. And profiling does exist with law enforcement. You know, I hate to say it, but we used to do it in loss prevention. I mean, that's just the way it is. The thing about this prison society that we live in is you commit a federal crime, but it's also a state crime. The state locks you up. You serve your time. The feds can come and then lock you up. It's, you know.
Oh, that's
ridiculous.
Right. I forgot about that.
State and federal. Uh-huh. If they don't like you for some reason, they'll just turn around when you get out. Oh, free. I'm out of prison. Okay. Now you're going to have to do federal time, which there's no really early release. So if you get 10 years federal, you're doing 10 years federal.
But see, if you're rich and have a whole lot of money, then they give you this prison that's a country club that you sit in. Depending on your crime, I guess, is what it is. I think that's what that is. Yeah.
It's crazy. Get me all riled up thinking about how our country loves to lock everybody up and put them in prison, spy on them.
Well, it's good to hear you get passionate about something, Jason. I'm proud of you.
I know. Well, somebody's got to speak out against this. It's you know, the sentences are ridiculous for a lot of crimes. You get murderers that end up doing 6 or 7 years, and some guy selling a pound of weed in Louisiana end up doing 35 to 40. It's everything's so backwards. It's so backwards.
Yeah, that does get a little bit ridiculous. And then
I had a friend. Oh, go ahead.
You had a friend that did what?
I had a friend that was murdered. He was stabbed 27 times. The guy, you know, worked out some sort of deal or whatever, and he's like doing like 10 years.
That's
ridiculous.
Insane.
Yeah, that's the society we live in.
Is it because he plead out?
No, I think he was high on meth or something like that. Like that should matter.
Oh, that's crazy. You like give them more time, you know? Even though they're out of their minds and they do something, it's no excuse.
Yeah. And then certain things are illegal at one point, but then the legislature changes it. But it's not like they notify everybody. So then you do that thing, and then you get arrested because the law changed. Because ignorance of the law is not an excuse.
Yes. That's just like if they put a stop sign up someplace that never had a stop sign before, and they don't warn anybody, then they sit there and pull you over constantly.
Yeah, because it's all about money. It's all about power. If you have money or power, the chances are you're going to slip through the cracks. You know, every once in a while, there's a big case that some rich person gets nailed on, like this whole Epstein thing. But the majority of these rich people and powerful people just stay below the radar. It's all who you know and if you have money. And that's the society we live in.
Well, you and I are going to be in trouble because we're both poor and they'll throw us under the bus.
I know. Yeah, no, yeah, exactly. We're the type of poor people that the government likes to lock up in prison for whatever, because a lot of the prisons have been privatized and they're not even run by the state or feds, either run by corporations. There's been cases where judges have gotten in trouble because they had sweetheart deals with these juvenile detention facilities, and they end up getting busted for sending a bunch of kids to these facilities that shouldn't have been sent. It's corrupt. Everything is so corrupt. I'm going to punch my monitor right now.
I'm loving this side of Jason. I love this. Get excited and passionate. You're going to do stuff, and I want to see you punch your monitor, Jason. Put this on video.
I have a very expensive monitor. That would be really bad.
Yeah, that would be pretty bad.
I spent $400 on this thing. I can't punch it. I will kiss
Holy
it and love
cow.
It and hug it like a child. It's big. It's big. And it's hooked up to a very powerful computer. I'm kind of spoiled.
Oh. Yes, you are, and that's okay. That's okay.
That's okay.
As long as you pass that along. You pass those blessings down to somebody.
That's right.
Like, come on, do you? Do you random acts of kindness?
I've been meaning to do that more. I keep rehashing the same old stories of the random acts of kindness I've done, and I keep forgetting to actually, you know, I can't live off of one random act of kindness and expect to get through the pearly gates. It's something you got to keep on doing. So thank you for reminding me.
So have you ever been involved in the, when you pull up to the restaurant drive-through window to pay for your food and find out that the person in front of you paid for yours, so then you need to pay for the person behind you?
That's never happened to me. I've always heard of it happening to other people, but I've thought about that, and I need to remember that next time I go out to eat or whatever to pay for somebody else.
You need to be the one that starts it, Jason.
That's right. Get the ball rolling. And I will. Next time I go out to eat or whatever, I'll try and remember that. Be nice.
So how hard are you rolling your eyes at me right now?
Oh, I'm not. No, I totally agree with that. And I've said that before on the show before. I've got to do more of that. I just keep forgetting about it. I get caught up in my own life and drama that I forget to do that. And we all should strive to do that.
Oh, speaking of drama, I was changing the channels and noticed a paranormal TV show that it's on. And everybody calls it nothing but drama. That's what made me think of this. And they are in Salem, Oregon. How far are you away from there?
45 minutes.
So have you ever been to that enchanted forest thing?
Not since I was a teenager, but I'm familiar with it, yes.
So did anything happen to you when you were there?
I have the memory of a hedgehog. I can't even remember what I ate for lunch 2 hours ago. So I can't remember that many years ago.
So I guess not, because you can remember years ago with your UFO stuff. The crazy stuff
just bits and pieces. I don't know if I have like a brain tumor or I just have some sort of genetic idiocy disorder. Or what? Or I've just damaged my brain cells when I was a heavy drinker. Who knows? Oh, I have something completely off the subject that I just unintendedly brought up. Do you want to hear it?
Yes.
So, I used to be a heavy drinker, right?
Yes. Yes, I remember that.
So I had an abdominal ultrasound years ago, and my liver was pretty much like a stick of butter, you know, fatty, nasty. Had I continued drinking, I probably would have blown out like sitting on a balloon. I mean, it was on its way out, right?
Right.
So I've been having like the only thing that can be described as gallbladder pain. So I got ordered a abdominal ultrasound. Now, mind you, I haven't drank in the last 7 or 8 years at all, none. And so it came back is my liver's totally normal. It had healed itself from quitting drinking. And I thought that was a great testament, you know, because the liver is very good at regenerating itself. So if anybody's out there at that point with your liver's going south, quit drinking. My liver's good.
So how much were you drinking a day? What is considered a heavy drinker? Let me first ask that. And then how far past did you go?
Well, I looked in my records on my chart, and it considered my drinking moderate. But I would literally every night on an empty stomach pound a six-pack of beer. Man, that buzz was amazing.
And they call that moderate? Wow.
Yeah. I'm a big guy, though. So now that my liver has healed, the fact that my liver's good again, does that give me the green light to start drinking again?
Sure. You just go right ahead, dummy.
Crack me a cold one.
So, okay, but that's interesting.
Yeah, I thought it was a surprise. I thought for sure, even though because I'm fat, that my liver would at least still be fatty, but they didn't. There was no mention of it. So, yeah, I thought it was pretty cool. Incidentally, I didn't have gallstones either, so I don't know what's causing the pain. It's probably a tumor. I'm probably going to die. So, no, they would have seen that.
I didn't see that. Yeah, I thought I was beginning to think I had a brain tumor this morning because I got woke up. I had a headache, and I have these every so often. They're not migraines. And God bless the people that have migraines, because I could never imagine. And because just my little problem that I have with my neck. But it's, I don't know how people do that, but, and I totally lost my train of thought of where I was taking that. Isn't that awful?
It's a tumor.
Oh, yeah, I thought it was a tumor. There you go. Sorry, the cat wanted in, and then I got up and I walked across the room and forgot where I was. But seriously, it took forever. You need to do that about 4 or 5 times. I've got a lot of them little bastards running around here. But I medicated with just ibuprofen, and I eat because I know not to take that on an empty stomach. And 600 milligrams of that didn't do it. And then about an hour later, I took 200 more, and I think about an hour and a half past that, I had to take 2 more. So wonder what that did to my stomach and to my liver today.
Yeah, that's not good for the liver. I doubt it's a tumor, though. I mean, brain tumors do present with headaches, but that's not like the hallmark of a brain tumor. So,
no.
Have you had any personality changes? any vision problems? Talking in tongues?
Not yet. I don't know. Nobody's here to tell me if I am or not. It's just me.
Forgetting where you live.
No, that's not happening. That's not happening.
How scary would that be?
That happens to people.
Yeah, well, I suppose that we should probably talk about something paranormal. The whole reason I was talking about this whole investigation thing, it was kind of setting a foundation for why I'm so skeptical. Because then I went into ghost investigations and I did experience things I wasn't able to explain, but I was still very skeptical about it. So I guess we should talk about ghosts or something.
No, not you.
Skeptical? Oh, yeah, me.
Please.
Still, to this day. I'm going to have to see a full-body apparition or one of these little gray aliens are going to have to come up and go, like, phone home or something, or touch me or probe me or tickle my colon for me to actually believe that they're real.
Okay, so after everything that's happened to you, have you ever collectively, like, written every experience that you've ever had down and read it?
No, I wish I had, though. I recommend that. I wish I had.
You're not dead yet. Do it.
Yeah, but I can't remember it because we were just talking about how terrible my memory is. I can't. Probably a lot of that stuff is so in the back of my brain that I can't recall it. I just remember bits and pieces.
That's okay. Write it down.
I should.
And maybe something nothing like automatic writing will take over. You know, get into the zone. Do some meditation that deals with hypnosis, and then just start writing, and then maybe your subconscious will take over, and then you'll have a whole complete story.
It's funny you mentioned automatic writing. I went to a boarding school one time, and actually one of the classes was called Mastership, and that's one of the things that they would have the kids do, automatic writing.
Okay, that's wild.
Yeah, that's crazy. And for people that don't know what that is, I'm certainly not an expert, but as I recall, automatic writing is you starting out with a pencil on paper, writing circles, and then you're like channeling the communication, and then you start unconsciously writing words. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Is that how that works? It's like,
yes.
Like a form
yes.
of channeling, I guess that would be.
Yes. Yes,
yeah,
and
that
someone
was
else
one of
can
the things.
Put you in, under as well. Other than you start channeling, yes, someone can talk you through it, like hypnosis.
Have you ever tried automatic writing?
No. I'm too scatterbrained. I can't focus. On to do meditation, it is so hard for me, and I do try work at it and stuff, because I don't know, I'll just, something will happen. Like if I do guided meditation, they've got those all over YouTube. But if I try to do guided meditation and I'm listening, and then all of a sudden I'm thinking about pepperoni pizza, or, you know, did I put my clothes in the dryer, and do I have, you know, do I need to wash, you know, something off the wall, and then I have to try to bring it back in and focus.
I have the same problem. I have no discipline. I've tried it, for a day or two, and I can't do it. It's too much going on.
I mean, I know it's something that you have to work at. And another thing, even if I do find myself focusing on it, I'll fall asleep right in the middle or the beginning of meditation or something. So apparently, if I fall asleep, the meditation has really worked and has calmed me down and relaxed me.
I had the same problem. I'd be like, wake up in the morning and be like, okay, I'm going to meditate, lay on my back on the bed. Okay, I'm meditating. I'm asleep.
Yeah, it just, and I guess that's a good thing about meditation, but not if you're doing it to reach a certain goal. Then it's not doing you any good when you fall asleep.
Yeah, well, maybe I should give her another shot.
Yeah, it's good for you. I don't know. Tell me, have you started exercises and eating right? Are you still doing that?
Does sausages, potatoes, and carrots and onions in a crock pot equate to eating right?
Yes. That's much better than walking down the street and to the taco bar.
Then, yes. The last 2 days, I crock potted a roast, and I got some sausages and stuff. Sausage is delicious, by the way.
Oh, yes, it is. And bacon. Bacon. Can't ever have enough bacon.
Still working on the exercising, though. But trying to crock pot more than normal. Crock pots are amazing.
Yes, they are. You have to get an Instapot. Sherry and I were talking about this, and I had looked into them, but it's a pressure cooker and a crock pot together. Well, if you forget to unthaw whatever it was that you're, they tell you not to put frozen food in a crock pot, but with my schedule, I am gone from a long time during the day. So mine doesn't have a timer on it. I've got an old crock pot. So I have to turn it on low when I leave, and then I'm not home for another 10, 12 hours. So if I leave anything in the crock pot, it's totally overcooked and disgusting. So if you have that, yes, and if you have that pressure cooker, part of it, you can throw it all in there, and it's, you know, put your roast in there first, and I think you cook it for like 10 or 15 minutes, and then you bring it down, and then you throw your vegetables in, and then bring it back up for another 10 minutes or so, and everything's done.
But if you buy one of those, you're probably going to end up on some government list for buying a pressure cooker in light of Boston bombings. Probably get on the no-fly list because I want to pressure cook some potatoes and carrots.
Well, you're okay on the no-fly list because you're not flying anymore, so that's not a problem.
That's right. And in 2021 or 22, I won't be able to fly at all because the government is making us, a lot of the states in the country are already using the smart ID, but Oregon has been, like, procrastinating signing up for it. But by 20-something,
yes.
I... sometime next year, they can't delay it anymore. So in order to get on an airplane, your driver's license will no longer work, and you'll have to get one of these other things that'll probably have RFID chips, and they'll be monitoring your daily bowel habits and your ATM withdrawals.
So there we go. See, and you were questioning it, because I was talking about Preparation H last week.
Oh, man. Hey, if Preparation H wants to sponsor the show, we would really, really enjoy that. We'll talk about how Preparation H saves lives. I don't know what sort of magic or witchcraft is in Preparation H, nor have I ever used it, but it's probably really amazing stuff.
Well, if your eyes are puffy, honey, you can put them up underneath there and they won't be puffy anymore.
Wait, I thought Preparation H was for your ass, not your eyes.
It is, but, you know, when models need that quick fix where they've partied all night and they wake up and their eyes are puffy, then they put that up underneath them. We talked about this last week, Jason.
Did we? I don't remember you saying that models use it on their eyes. I remember talking about Preparation H. Why don't you wipe that on your eyes? Your eyelids or whatever.
It's not right up underneath them. It's because that's what that stuff's for. Anyway, move on.
like who came up with that idea? So somebody's like got some hemorrhoids and they're like, oh, I'm gonna put this on my ass. Oh, you know what? I have bags under my eyes. I'm gonna see what Preparation H does. Like there had to have been one person somewhere in the past that discovered that.
Well, you're right. That's like who discovered milk? You know, that you can drink that comes out of a cow.
And then you find out it's a bull.
Yeah. See, there you go.
Oh, God. We're so unsupervised.
Yeah, and it's hard to rein you in and keep you on balance, so.
I know. I can't talk about one subject without talking about Preparation H or hemorrhoids.
Exactly. See, you started talking about your bowel movements, and then, you know, I had to pull you over to that.
Talking about ghosts, and the next thing you know, it's bowel movements and Preparation H. It's crazy. But that's what this show's about. The good thing is we can talk about whatever we want. If we want to talk about oatmeal and mythical creatures, we can do that.
Yeah, the unicorn. I noticed. So, yeah, we talked about unicorns and stuff, and then I get this thing on Facebook about the unicorn. Of course, I sent you the snapshot of it. So, I blamed you for that.
Yeah. Here's an interesting little – this happened just last week. You just reminded me of it. We were talking previously about how our applications, Facebook, and electronic devices are listening to us. And then so if you're having a random conversation about a product, that's a really obscure product, and that they shows up, you start getting ads for it, it's because your phone's listening to you. That's not even a secret, folks. If you've got a Facebook app and there are other things out there that you're granting permissions because no one ever reads the fine details, you're giving it authorization to access your microphone and your picture, and that's how you're getting these ads when you talk about stuff. So this is interesting, and I just had a reminder of this. Last week, a coworker was moving, and literally within a couple hours of just talking about moving, her Facebook was loaded with moving advertisements out of the blue.
See, that's awesome.
They're spying on us.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Oh, I don't have the Facebook app, so I probably don't get a lot of stuff like that. But I have noticed my eyebrows have raised a couple times. Like, why am I getting an ad for this?
Yeah. Somebody is close to you and may be talking about it. You might not even be talking about it. Somebody else might be. And then it picks that conversation up, and then it's on your phone. Or your Facebook application.
My friend jokes to me. He's like, oh, have you taken your Biktarvy today? Or have you taken your Truvada for PrEP? Those are HIV medications. I do not have HIV, but it's like an inside joke because we watched South Park and there's the one episode with Cartman where he says, I'm not just positive, I'm HIV positive, for those of you that watch South Park. So this is a running joke. So he's always saying this to me in various messages and stuff like that. So then I look at my advertisements on Facebook and I start getting ads for Biktarvy and Truvada for PrEP. I'm not joking. So according to the government or these large conglomerate advertising agencies, I have AIDS. And I need preparation H because I have acquired immune deficiency syndrome hemorrhoids.
Oh, wow.
So they're building up this online profile of me, which is some sort of obese, HIV infected weirdo who's afraid of aliens and ghosts and has bad memory, and I'll probably start getting advertisements for some Lord knows what. I don't even know where I'm going with this right now. Where am I?
See, this is the thing that's happening tonight because I get up and walk away and forget where I'm totally going in my conversation.
This is all over the place. That's why I like it. Who cares?
It really is. But, okay, so I've just looked up, since we're talking about all this stuff, so I'm going to take this into an experiencer thing. But there is an experiencer questionnaire on MUFON.com. And I did not realize, I knew there was a lot of questions on this. But I didn't realize there were so many. And not all of them will apply to what your experience is. But it starts out basically pretty normal, like what's your gender, what's your age, how old were you when you first had an experience, how many times do you believe you've been taken. And then you go all the way down to the bottom of the, you know, down the part of it, and it asks this question. If the ETs have made you aware of an impending apocalyptic or disastrous event on Earth, what is it? Yes, and I've heard of people that will say that that has been shown to them. And they really don't like to talk about it.
So have people talked to you about it? Like what's the consensus of what's going to happen? Are we going to get blasted with an asteroid or super virus or?
Well, that's the thing. Nobody's had the same answer. Nobody has had the same answer. It's all been different. It's not been 20 people to say, nuclear bombs are going to kill everybody. It's, you know, you have them. It's like they've been shown that war and things like that are going to destroy us and Earth and things like that. You know, it's not an asteroid event that wipes us out. It's us. But every time it's a different type of scenario. So it's like if it's not war, it's the fact that we're polluting and destroying our planet, things like that.
I went to the grocery store the other day and there were so many people. And the first thought that came to my mind is we need a new plague.
Then you go into Agenda 21, and you know there's plans in there for depopulation because the less people you have on the planet, the less you're not going to have famine. You're not going to have if they can control you and how you live and what you do. And you're not going to have famine. You're not going to have all of these diseases, things to that nature. So if they just all pile you up in one little colony and teach you, was it sustainable development, things like that?
Well, I hope they put me in a colony that's like on the beach.
Jason, they'll eat you.
I'm pretty plump. I'd be a pretty fatty meal at this point.
They'll just use you for cooking, Lord.
Oh, what a way to go.
Yeah, definitely.
So remind me, because I'm not super familiar, what this Agenda 21 is.
Agenda 21, okay, so it was the UN put this together and put it out in 1992. And I had totally forgotten, I remember this president making this speech, and I had totally forgotten that it was so close to that. But when the first George Bush was the president, when he made his speech about the New World Order, and I can remember hearing those words coming out of his mouth, and I was like, oh, crap. That's scary. So,
the New World Order.
Yeah, and then they're going to succeed in doing this New World Order. And so anyways, Agenda 21 come out of that, but it's all of these, and if you want to, it is for sale on Amazon, any place like that, because it is they put it for sale. The UN did, they put it together, it's called the Earth, they did it in the Earth Summit. But anyways, they wanted all of these different agendas made and to be put into place by the year 2021.
That's
and
right around the corner.
Yes, well, the monkey wrench got thrown into their plan, so now they've pushed it back to 2030. So you can also, if you want information on that, they've got some books out about that too. But you know, they want to wipe out famine, they want to wipe out diseases, they want, because there's people that live in countries that just, the soil cannot, and the climate that they live in, just they can't, their crops are either good or they totally fail, and then you've got this whole country that's just starving to death. And then you've got countries that are HIV-ridden and they're dying of AIDS because, they can't quit having sex with everything that moves or whatever. Exactly. But it's the plan, they want to wipe that out, and depopulation is in that. The less people that they have to control, the easier all of this goes through. So, and it makes you wonder, since 1990, and they were trying to put all of these plans in, of course, 9/11 happened, and then they put in all of the, that's when the NSA was pushed to the forefront, which makes you wonder, how could a small agency, I know it's big, but with comparable to the population of the United States, how could they have been that prepared, that fast, to go ahead and start gathering all of their citizens' information, face recognition, things like that quickly? Whenever the Patriot Act was put into place.
I should read the Patriot Act. I've never actually read it.
Well, it's a pretty scary little beast.
Yeah. So they're basically watching everything we do, but we already know that. Are you there?
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, there you go.
I was trying to walk away from my dog because she's in there drinking water and she was really loud. So.
I thought the CIA might have grabbed you.
Oh, Lord, they don't want me. I'm their entertainment. I'm the joker of the court.
Me too.
It's scary because, you know, we had, quote unquote, a terrorist attack. Then everybody was scared and mad because then every time you would turn around, you would see everybody was questioning their neighbor and they were afraid to fly. They were afraid to drive. They were afraid to do anything. So the government swoops in and says, oh, no, no, my people, we will protect you. So this is the law that we're going to put in and this is how we're going to do it. And you will comply because you're, you know, people were thinking, number one, there's nothing you can do about it. They were going to put it in place. You can't stop it. But there were enough people that weren't freaking out over the fact that they have just totally almost made this a communist state immediately. That, you know, and it was all because they are protecting you.
Right. There's a lot, we need protecting from, you know, the thing we need protecting from is the government.
Right, but, you know, a lot of people don't see that, and all they want is not to have their daily lives interrupted. So they don't pay attention, you know, and it's like, oh, well, that doesn't affect me. Oh, you know, yes, it does. It does. Because, you know, then you have a lot of these places that, I mean, taxes, and they just keep passing higher and higher taxes because your government is spending, spending, spending. And there's not, they spend it all plus some, and then they raise your taxes again. And you let them. You keep the same people in government. They are elected officials.
For decades.
You know.
It's ridiculous.
Yes.
Spending all the money, billions of dollars on planes and bombs and high-tech weapons. Imagine what that money could do if you actually, you know, cared about people.
Well, and real quick, I'll throw this in, but you know how they have all these climate summits, oh, we need to save the climate and we're killing the earth. Please, the earth will kill you before you kill the earth. But anyway. Then they all fly in their private jets, and they all meet in these one places and things like that. We have the internet, we have Skype, we have things like that. Why don't you stay your butt where you are and save all that jet fuel and emissions and things like that? And meet on camera.
Yeah, so
you know, if you're
things.
Trying to save the earth,
Skype.
Quit wasting stuff. But it's all hypocrite. Every bit of it. It's all hypocritical. It's all BS. Yes, you don't need to you don't need to litter on the ground. You don't need to have smog and everything else that's hanging down. But, you know, get rid of the chemicals out of the air, but they're wanting to do stuff because the CO2 is too high? What? Really? Come on. CO2? That's nothing. Yes, you need oxygen to breathe, but why don't you worry about the chemicals that will actually kill you, that China and all India and all these places, because anything, you know, they're doing everything they can do to pollute. They don't care. They in the water, They don't care where they dump it. That's where it's at. But then yet over here, they're bitching at us, saying that we're not doing enough, that we're killing the climate. No. If they want to destroy their own country that they're living in and they want to turn it into a human sewage and just waller in it, let them. Because then that's when nature takes care of them and wipes them all out.
Yeah, it definitely seems that some countries are on that way. India being, I mean, there are some really nasty places in China and India and Russia for that matter.
Oh, yeah. And if they, you know, if that's the way they want to live, let them live like that, because they're not going to live very long. And you don't have to, you know, it just, I don't know. It's like it's all a global agenda. Let's just shove it down our throats. And you teach our kids here at school that we're killing the planet. No, we're not. The Weather Channel, I noticed them. They have these shows talking about how this all this man-made stuff is killing the earth and blah, 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 blah. And that's why we have such wild weather patterns and changes and stuff like that. And then they'll turn around the very next day and show you the reason that we have these wild weather patterns. Every 25 to 50 years, they'll lay out a pattern that the earth has. So every 50 years or so, this is what happens because we have a record of it or something like that. So what is it?
That's the question. I actually kind of doubt it. I mean, the earth has, you know, over the course of thousands of years has cooling and heating cycles, and whether or not humanity with all the gases is making it worse or making it come faster, who knows? I don't know if anybody really knows, but it's part of the cycle. It's the cycle of this planet.
Right. Well, that's why, I mean, they teach and have forever that we've had an ice age. But then the earth warmed up and the ice moved back, and then we were able as human beings to flourish. Well, we didn't cause the earth to warm up. It did it all on its own, like it's been doing. And we'll have another ice age again. That's just what happens.
Well, I still think we need another plague. But we are running out of time. And I'll be honest with you, I got potatoes and sausages waiting for me, and it's really distracting.
Well, I think I heard you moving around a lot.
Crock pot's right behind me. I'm smelling it. It's like, damn, I got to eat, yo.
You're so funny. But anyways, yeah. It's all the government conspiracy things and things like that. And you just, you know, wake up, people, pay attention.
That's what it comes down to. Don't be a sheep. Don't believe everything you see on the news. Think for yourself. And just don't be a drone like 99% of the people out there. Things are changing. And as far as my opinion is, the government is not your friend. Oh, great.
No.
Now I'm going to be on a hit list.
Yeah.
But
dun, 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 dun.
Oh, they're going to come for me now. I bet they'll move the switches.
Oh, dude. They've been watching you for a long time.
Hell yeah, they have. I know that for a fact. But that's for another story, another day.
Not next week. Next week we've got Eric Mitchell coming on, and I'm pretty excited about that. He's been into a lot of great stuff. He's got YouTube channel up, and he's putting videos out about his experience. And I mean, you can just search it. Eric Mitchell, it'll pop up on YouTube. He's great.
Very
he's great.
Cool. Always love talking to him. Well, with that, I got some food to eat, and I'm going to finish a movie. What are you doing for the rest of your evening?
It's past my bedtime, dude.
Oh.
I'm going to bed.
You better go to bed. Gee.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll see everybody next Sunday, 8 p.m. West Coast, for a more organized episode of Paranormal Horizons. And hope everybody has a great and fantastic week. And we'll see you next week. Good night, everyone.
Good night.